I miss a green, for example, I'm already upset. When I find my ball in the bunker, I'm really upset. And when I find my ball in a
fried egg.
The dreaded fried egg.
Fried egg lie, I'm about ready to run off the golf course.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Fried Egg Podcast. Tonight I am joined by Adam Sarson and Brendan Porath. Guys, welcome on. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Andy? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, Andy. It's great to be on here again.
Yeah. Return guests. You know, always good. I'm doing well. Tiger's back. I feeling good about Tiger comeback. Ricky finally got his win that he seemingly was knocking on the door for months for. What'd you guys think of, cut to the chase. What'd you think of Big Cat and his return?
Go ahead, Adam.
I would say encouraged, cautiously optimistic. I think I mentioned to Brendan and some other people earlier, my one concern is basically like, you know, just don't show up looking like you're a little, you know, LeRon Landry to Torrey and just be absolutely jacked. I don't need to see that, but like I was shocked. I honestly didn't expect him to be this good this fast, especially with the driver. I think it was Kyle Porter who was saying too that, you know, he doesn't think that he's actually ever seen Tiger drive the ball better than this, and I certainly can't remember a time when he has either. It's kind of crazy. Like the iron play and the putting, yeah, you can kind of expect. Short game still needs a little bit of work, I would think, but overall, just very, very impressed.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing with Tiger is there's always all these concurrent running emotions, and like we tend to operate in extremes to like he's back and he should be 5-1 to win the Masters, or you know, he's washed. He's completely finished. Like there's really like we've got 20 years of now dissecting this guy's like every move and facial expression, and that we kind of can only operate anymore in black and white. It's like a jumbled mess, like where he's definitively back or he's not. And like, I don't even know what back means anymore. That's like it's a useless word right now with him. It's just like back to what? Back to like 2000 Tiger, back to being like 2013 Tiger. What is? Is he back to being 2015 Tiger, where he's like yipping it everywhere? Like, what does back even mean? There's no definition to that. There's no definition to what we consider like success for him right now, I don't think. You know, because what's success? Completing 72 holes, you know, hitting the ball 375 yards in the air. Like, what is success? And I think you tend to get swatted down if you have a positive review based on everything we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years. But I think like it's good to get excited about seeing Tiger play well. Like and when you start freaking out, you need to be cautiously optimistic. You need to understand that you can't make any grand conclusions until we figure out what's sustainable. And we've seen him play well for a round or two and then, you know, be completely on the DL 3 rounds later. Like we know that there are longer term questions here, but I've always been kind of like a Tiger, I don't know, certainly Tiger skeptic. I think so much of my career, and I'm not some long-term veteran here, has been riding in this ugly era. So like I've always kind of been like, everyone freaks out. I was like, yeah, but you know, like the ugly round's coming tomorrow. Like he's not gonna win, that kind of thing. Like there's always it's so safe and easy to do these last 5-6 years. Like that's a safe thing to do. Say like, slow down. Like come on. Like he's not back yet. Like slow down. He's gonna implode tomorrow. Like that's an easy thing to say. And you know, I think it's not necessarily inaccurate, but I watched him drive that drive on 7 a day, and I kind of lost perspective. Like, that was like Hideki straight ball, and then it was, you know, flighted to the front of the green on a whatever it was, 340-yard hole. So, you know, I think, you know,
that was a shot that only Tiger can hit.
Right. So I am like filibustering here, but right now this is as encouraging a comeback as I've seen, you know, in this last 5-year stretch. It's that, and that's what we have. We are operating in a vacuum here. We are analyzing these 4 rounds. We're not saying it means he's going to do it, you know, he's going to win at Torrey and we're off and running again, but we're analyzing what we have. We're analyzing this vacuum within the context of, you know, being burned in the past by flashes of brilliance.
Yeah, I was skeptical. You read everything ahead of time, and it's like this hype machine that happens every time he comes back. Like, you know, worst ball 66s. You know, he's hitting it so far. He's out driving DJ, and like, sure enough, like it's I'm like a Tiger fanboy. I grew up watching him just dominate. He's one of the reasons I got so hooked into golf. But, you know, like, sure enough, like, and after he turned to 31 on Friday, I was, like, sold. You know? Oh, man.
Yeah.
He's hitting shots that, you know, like, the driver, the thing I noticed is just no big misses. Like, the, like, 90-yard left shot wasn't there. Like, last year he looked good, but you could tell he was two-way missing. You know, he's hitting these high wipey fades, and he was missing left, and he missed a lot of fairways. His iron play was unbelievable, but you usually are better, you know, with irons if you're steep than or stuck than with a driver. He swung it so well, and I think just in terms of where he struggled was like rust, you know, and fatigue. I think he got tired on some of those back nines, which is why you saw like the 31, 37 today, where he just kind of, he wore out. But then the, you know, Saturday, he got off to a tough start, but it was so windy. It's like, that was almost like him getting adjusted to playing golf in tournaments in wind. You know, it's this additional factor. And then towards the end of the round, he got his feel back and started to play well. I think the short game struggles are overblown. You saw guys all over the place hitting, like, you know, Charlie Hoffman was using a fairway wood all everywhere. I think the it was the grass conditions weren't great there from the hurricane. So I think I'm pleasantly surprised. I think if he can play, if he stays healthy, he's gonna win on tour again. So
that's I sent something out on Tuesday or Wednesday about how just about, you know, just kind of debating some of the questions around him, you know, coming into this week. And somebody replied to me on Twitter. It's like, well, you know, you're concerned. You have to be concerned about, you know, about the short game and the chip yips and all that stuff, and how, you know, we don't really know if he's gotten over it. And my whole thing was, you know, the last time, like, I don't think we can actually accurately describe over the last 4 years, I guess, how much of his struggles have been related to his health and how much of them have been related to other factors. And for me, the one thing that has been clear for sure, though, is that he probably hasn't been healthy since 2013. You know, and so if he hasn't, I mean, he won 5 times that year. So for me, it's like, you know what, let's see what he looks like healthy. I mean, if he can, you know, if he can sustain some level of health over the next, you know, little while, like, that's always been my thing. It's like, if he's healthy, yeah, I think he is going to win again. Now, how much of that, I can't really say. I mean, I don't think any of us really know. And I mean, the fact is that none of us are going to be sitting here predicting health for him either.
It was interesting, like, we're also now like, well, what can we take at face value from Tiger? Like, saying he's pain-free and then saying, you know, he said that in the past, and obviously he wasn't. And I thought Karen Kraus of the New York Times really put it to him in the post whatever round press conference today. She's like, if you were healthy, if you were in pain, would you tell us? And he kind of like you know, he brushed it off quickly. As he was like, yeah, yeah, I would. It's like, he goes, are you in any pain? He goes, no. It's like, if you were, would you tell us? He's like, oh yeah, I would. It's like, no, like that, that's just, he wouldn't. Like, we know for a fact, like, if he was in pain, he would not tell us. So like, there's always going to be that, I guess, skepticism about his health, but there's only so much we can do. We're not, you know, doctors, and we're not getting medical reports of, you know, when he goes and gets his physical wherever in Jupiter.
Thing I would say though about his health, like, so I mean, he played from enough, you know, bunkers and waste areas this week where, you know, there were some of them were, you know, pretty deep and whatever. I mean, I know Brendan, I know you watched that round that he played in Dubai, where he was struggling to get in and out of bunkers. And it was horrible to watch. And I mean, he didn't look like he was doing any of that this week. And the funny thing was, so like Terry Gannon at the end of the round today, you know, he had said, you know, in the interview with Tiger, he's like, you know, like last, you know, the last time I saw you in this seat, like you were really struggling to even get up and down, and you know, and you're not right now. So I mean, I don't know how much of that is just him, you know, him just, you know, playing nice with Tiger, and how much of it is actually real, but you know, it definitely seems like, you know, the health is at least, you know, quite a bit better than what it was the last time we saw him.
Yeah, I mean, we know it was a different surgery. That's all we know. Like, and apparently, like, he's stiffer, and, you know, it's a different surgery, and he's got a different swain. And, I mean, the swain certainly looked really violent and aggressive. He's not, like, changed anything in terms of, like, the way he's going after it. He might have changed his swain. But I don't know. It's fun to watch. And like Andy was talking about the wipey fades and all that. He was scared to, like, he would not hit draw. Like, even the hole that was like the most obvious and intuitive draw hole, like, he just refused to do it, you know, and so many of those previous comebacks, he was just trying to, like, force it. And I thought he worked the ball both ways, and, you know, he hit the straight ball every now and then. It seemed and obviously with power, and that's, you know, we're going to hear about that. And that was the thing where I was skeptical, is like, with all these comebacks, the only public stuff is going to be the good stuff, right? Like, the guy down in Jupiter who plays with them, who sees him, or the guy is only going to say, like, oh, he's flushing it. It looks great. It looks great to me. It looks like the old Tiger. Like, you're not going to hear, like, oh, he looks like shit. You know, he's broken down and ragged, and I expect him to come to Hero and play like garbage. Like, you're not gonna, that's just not gonna get out in the public if it was happening. So like, when we were hearing all that about, again, it's like the same exact pattern. You're like, you're still gonna be skeptical, but, you know, he put it out there this week, and, you know, it's we can only judge what we saw and do it within the context of, you know, kind of understanding his back is always going to be a tenuous situation.
The way he's swinging, it seems like he feels good. The question is, how long will he feel good? But, like, it seems like he's a lot more healthy than he was last year. And he feels a lot better. You can tell from the body language and everything. And just, you know, like, I think there's a little bit more of a strut about him and a little bit more of a confidence than last year. Because last year it was, like, kind of like, you know, but this year I think it's different. You know, the thing that is crazy to me about this week was he drove it so well, but, like, for him, he's, like, probably the greatest iron player and greatest putter ever, and he didn't really hit his irons or putt that well this week, and he left a lot of shots out there with wedges, and he still, you know, he somewhat contended like he wanted to. You know, he wasn't that far out, you know, like, he was not, and to me, if he drives the ball anywhere near that, that when he drove the ball like that was 99 in 2000, and nobody could touch him. I mean, that was when he was Tiger slamming.
He was over par on par fives two out of the four rounds. You know,
I think that's where, like, I've been nowhere near Tiger's play, but, you know, but, like, when I play my first couple tournaments of a season, I usually just, I get killed on par fives. I always am like, how did I make bogey on this par five from the middle of the fairway? And that's like, there's that rust, you know, and that number changes, you know, in a maybe next tournament he plays in or two tournaments, and then all of a sudden he's in the top five of a full field event.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was some of the really long iron and wood shots this week. Like, he was nuking that 2-iron, you know, that 260, 270 yard 2-iron that he was hitting.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the 3-wood such a contrast between the, you know, the one unfortunate lasting image that I think a lot of us will probably have over the last few years is him hitting that 3-wood into the bunker at Chambers. Just topped it right into the bunker. And that was, now granted, again, we're talking about completely different scenarios and all that stuff, but, you know, just seeing him flush the 3-wood out of the fairway this week, I mean, it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think another thing is that 2-iron, like, that was sexy as hell. You know, like, I'm just, I can't imagine. I mean, I'm sure there'll be maybe some courses where it doesn't make sense to have it in the bag. I don't know. But, like, he hit it, whatever, 277 today and then flew a 260-something again. Like, he was using it regularly. And you know, that's what you want out of, like, to hang with the – you need to be able to hit long irons into these par fives. And, you know, that was just really kind of even maybe more so than the driver, exciting to watch and indicative like that. Maybe this is a little different the way he was roasting that 2-iron.
Yeah. It seems the other thing that you forget about Tiger was like, he was the greatest tactician ever. He was always playing to specific sides, right, and spots.
Yeah.
And like, you started to see that again. And it's like, you can see this guy, he plays it to the right, you know, he'll play to the edges to set up angles on shots. And I he's just so much fun to watch. I hope he's around for a while. What events do you guys think he'll be at this year? Like, next, say, when's the next time we're going to see him?
Well, I mean, he's going to go play Torrey, right? That's, you know, as much as I would like to see him, you know, potentially go somewhere where, you know, if he hits it a little wayward, he's not going to be in knee-high rough, you know, where it's kind of cold and all. Like, he's going to go there. So my guess would be, and maybe I'm kind of blanking on the ordering of the events for a second, but my guess would be something to the effect of Torrey, Riv, you know, Bay Hill, and then I guess maybe Honda as well before the Masters. I mean, falling into his old patterns, I would guess.
I think that sounds right. I got a question for Andy before we get too deep into it. Like, obviously, is a non-starter with the flight, but what would he look like at the Sony playing at Wild Eye? Like, it's not going to happen because he's doing the flight. Like, I'm curious, like, how you think he'd set up, like, his game, his shot making would play at Sony, and how tasty that might look.
I think that'd be a cool course for him to play. I was talking to Adam before you got on about how much I want him to play at Trinity Forest now. But yeah, anyway, those places, I mean, Sony, the way Justin Thomas played it last year is,
yeah,
scary. He was just, he basically just started hitting it high enough that he could just cut the, I mean, remember when he's hitting the ball, like, just, right, like, straight over trees, yeah, like, on lines he'd never seen people hit him on because he could hit it high enough to get it, I mean, like, yeah, these trees. So, I mean, Tiger plays well everywhere. I was thinking about it though. It's where he's won a ton, and this goes to like the whole Tigerification of golf courses and how it just plays into the hands of Tiger. So think about the courses he's dominated: Torrey Pines, Bay Hill, and Firestone. And all those golf courses are very long, narrow fairways, thick rough,
and a rail. Right,
yeah, Durrell.
I mean, would you throw Durrell?
Yeah, very long. So it's like the whole, like, hey, we need to make courses longer for long hitters. It's like, no, it's the complete opposite. But where Tiger's actually played well in his career has been the narrow courses, like the long, tough, narrow courses that when you miss his shot, like, that because he, I don't know, I always thought he hit it to the right. I mean, Haney talks about it a ton. He understood how to miss and where to miss better than anybody.
Yeah, I mean, so getting, you know, back to what Adam was, the schedule, I think Farmers is like, just, it's gonna happen. I don't know that like we want it to happen with you know, that looked brutal last year. There's always the, you know, opportunity for, you know, hitting out of the hay. You know, it gets, they, you know, can be thick and wet there. And obviously you get a day there sometimes where it's like 60 and blowing, or, you know, mid 60s and it's ugly. But I just think it's going to happen. It's late January. He's going to want to play. He's going to want to, you know, it's comfortable for him, whether, you know, it hasn't been since 2013, but it's comfortable for him. And it's just, it's going to happen whether you want it to or not. Like, what are your, I saw you over the weekend kind of, you know, throwing out reasons not to and caveats to avoid Farmers. Is that kind of, what are you thinking there?
I think he should avoid cold, damp weather.
Last year
was that, and then he went out to Dubai and it was just like it was over.
Yeah.
And but
that didn't get hurt on the flight though.
Yeah. I mean, it's so I would avoid Torrey just in general. I would avoid Riviera, but he can't because it's his event now.
Would you avoid Riviera?
I think he should just not travel, really.
Because it's LA.
He could just hang out. He could stay, be comfortable. He could play his hometown event, go up the road to play. And I don't like the idea of playing back-to-backs for him.
Yeah.
So he's going to play Riviera, and then he's going to play Hondo the week after. And that, I mean, it's just a lot of golf. Like, I think in ideal world, look at what Patrick Cantlay did last year. He made 11 starts. I think that's kind of a model to look at and say, okay, we're going to pick our spots. We're going to be very smart about where we start. The problem with it is, though, he's so big that he has places he has to go start and do.
Yeah.
Right.
He has to go play Arnie's event. Right?
Well, he does. I mean, I think Shane Bacon and KBB were talking about this a few weeks ago as well. I think Shane suggested that, you know, Phoenix would be a perfect spot for him too. Just based on the way the course is set up and all that. I would love to see him go play Pebble again, but the fact is that the Pro-Am portion of it would probably, I don't think you want the 6-hour rounds on his back, as much as I think we'd all love to see him play that again. I just feel like he's going to fall back into his old habits, especially if he's probably going to be taking some pretty good thoughts away from this week. You know, let's just say hypothetically he goes and plays Torrey and plays well again. Like, he's just going to strengthen his resolve to keep doing what he's always done anyway.
I was watching Golf Channel. I watched, like, their post game after it finished around 4:30. And, like, Nabilo was saying he should go play Torrey. He should go to Dubai. He should go. Like, I, like, fell out of my chair when he's talking about, like, he's got a bunch of make goods. Like, he needs to go and see the people and, like, entertain the crowd. And no, when he said he should go to Dubai, I was like, that's crazy. Like, he needs to, like, maybe next year, but take care of himself first and figure out what he can and can't do. But, like, the thought of going to Dubai is insane to me. But, like, I Brandle jumped in and said he should go to play the John Deere because it's gave him his first start. And, like, he should start doing this, like, late career kind of, I don't know.
He is wanting to play the majors, so he should.
It's kind of, I mean, that would be cool to me. Like, I loved when he played Sedgefield that one year. Like, that was awesome. Like, that sounds interesting, but, like, let's figure out, like, what he can and can't do. I mean, how many do you think he needs to get under his belt before the Masters?
I mean, five starts, four starts, three starts. I mean,
five's a lot.
I don't think he needs five, probably four starts.
Yeah.
So you could do, I guess you could do, he's going to do Riviera, that's for sure. I'd rather see him play Phoenix than Riviera than Torrey, but I don't think that'll happen. You know?
Right.
And then he's got Honda, Arnold Palmer.
So. Well, and the other thing too is that he's likely, unless something insane happens, he's not going to be qualified for the WGCs, and you know he's not playing any alternate field events.
He's not going down to Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico.
Beach. I'd love it. I would love to see it happen.
Cocoa Beach.
Yeah. It'd be great.
He could add a great list of champions down there.
You know, I think Andy's right, though. It's like, it's four events. Like, I think that's probably what makes the most sense. And, I mean, I don't see how he deviates from what he's always done. I mean, aside from the whole going to the Middle East thing, like, I don't see that happening, but the rest of it just all kind of makes sense.
Yeah, that's what's a little scary. Just like a little tiring. Like, you just want to see him try something a little different based on the way this routine has kind of all gone sideways in the last 4 or 5 years. Let's kind of change it up here and re-examine everything. Although he said afterwards he's going to get with his team and assess his training cycles and whatever, what other buzzwords he used to figure it out. I imagine we'll hear from him soon that he's going to play Torrey, but yeah. I don't know. We won't see him for probably whatever, 6-7 weeks now.
What, say he makes 15 starts in the next calendar year, where we're sitting at Hero next year and he's made 15 starts. What are your expectations? In good health.
Are we going on the assumption that he plays 15, he has 15 starts and he doesn't WD? Like, that's the idea?
Healthy, 15 starts.
I think he wins. I think he wins.
Yeah.
Wins once. Probably not a major, I would say. I think he's still like a little too sloppy to like win a major. You know, I think like the 20 somethings are just so precise and so, I don't know, there's too many of them. You know, like if three of them play like shit, there's another four that are great. You know, I just think he's like still a little too sloppy to keep up at a major. But who knows? That could change by July and August. I think he wins. I think he wins once. If we're talking to that, he looks like he did this week, plays 15 times. I think he wins once, which would put him, you know, in a couple FedEx Cup starts too, playoff starts, you know, would be a part of that 15 equation. And it hasn't been, obviously, in the last few years.
Yeah, I think he gets a win too if he stays healthy and gets the starts. One of the things I was watching, so Justin Thomas has arguably been the best player in the world the last 5 months. And in that first round, he was really bad for the first six holes. And I think there is a Tiger effect. And
yeah.
that is the thing that I am most excited to see. And I hope happens in the next, you know, year, however many years we have left, is I want to see some of these guys get that Tiger Sunday intimidate, like, and see how this generation that was born watching Tiger and that became great golfers from, you know, because of Tiger's influence, them having to deal with, you know, a lot of these, most of these guys weren't on tour the last time Tiger won.
Yeah. I mean, Bones said it on the broadcast today. He was like, I just caught Thomas, like JT, walking off. It was like in that front nine run, like maybe 10th hole, you know, somewhere in there. And like, he's like giddy. I've never seen it. He's like so excited. I like asked him like, what was like about Alabama getting in the playoff, which, you know, he had heard about, and I guess clapped on the course for that. He was like, no, like, I knew he was capable of this. I'm so excited. I'm like playing alongside. I'm like bearing witness to this. And Bones, like, you know, wouldn't, you know, go on the record with it if it wasn't, you know, pretty noticeable and legit and kind of worth reporting. So I think that's like what you're alluding to is, of course, the media is going to freak out. But like, I think it would change the entire dynamic on tour based on how depressing it's been the last few years and how wild and it would be to kind of see it again. Because let's face it, like, as much as we have that history and context, like, it's not expected. Like, that would be a little unexpected.
That's, I wrote this in for the newsletter tomorrow morning, but it's like golf needs this veteran that's still somewhat dominant because Phil's faded, and you know you have all these young guys, but there's no like old guy that's around that just still can like go out and dominate, and I think that's one of the things that. That's what Tiger's void has been, is that this, you know, this guy that restores balance to the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it'd be amazing. It's the one thing that I think we've all, like, I think we're all huge fans of the way that, of the way that the game kind of is situated right now. Like, you know, we all love watching Rory and Jordan and those guys go out and do what they do, but there it was different this week. Like it's a random tournament in at the end of November and early December. And all of us were basically glued to our TVs for no real reason other than the fact that Tiger was playing. Like it's, and you're right. Like a lot of these guys have not been on tour. They were just trying to start in when Tiger was last doing this in 2013. It'd be super cool. The only thing I would say though is that like the whole veteran, you know, who is kind of sticking around to win, that really only applies to him. Like it's not anyone else that could even come close to doing that sort of thing. But yeah, no, it'd be amazing. And it looks like now we actually might have the chance to see it.
You know, that could be Justin Rose. Did you guys hear on the telecast him talking about the sunglasses?
No.
No.
So he hasn't been wearing his sunglasses, and the I forgot who it was like asked him, and he said that he's been reading greens better. He didn't wear them for a round, and he realized he read greens better. So then I was just looking, you know, he's played really well the last couple of weeks. And
yeah.
He hasn't finished outside the top 10 since the Northern Trust. And all sans sunglasses.
He's on fire. I mean, he guys all over the world, like doing all sorts of brand stuff. This is the time you kind of bank some money, you know, doing brand activation in Hong Kong, and then he's like in Turkey, and I mean he was a finalist for the race to Dubai. So yeah, he's been all over the world.
I think one of the concerns is Monster might be forcing Tiger to Dubai.
that is troublesome to me. I got a video from my buddy. You know, they do these like little like PR hits for Bahamas as part of like the handshake, and they were showing this, like, they set up some recording studio at Albany. I don't know if you guys saw this. I think it was maybe Friday or Saturday. And it's, like, this the best recording studio in the world. I guess there's, like, rappers and rock stars. A bunch of people come to Albany. And, like, it was just loaded with Monster stuff. Like, decked out, this recording studio. I'm worried that, like, Albany. And then there was, like, Monster guys in the crowd in their hat. Like, I'm a little concerned. You ever hear about, like, those, like, one industry towns in Russia? Like, Monotown? It's like, I'm wondering, like, if Albany has kind of, like, sunk its teeth into Tiger, Monster lifestyle, you know, is taken over.
Sounds like Fried Egg might be invited down there next year just for that recording studio, you know. See if
sound quality.
Yeah. Probably still get some complaints. But so, we'll try and transition away. I'm sure we'll get back onto Tiger. But in terms of 2017, it's the end of the year. You know, it's really over. I can't watch the Shark Shootout or whatever it's called.
No. Yeah.
No.
Out.
This is way out. Heroes when I...
Father-son. The father-son. You know, it's just awful. God.
What's your favorite moment of this season that... probably will be forgotten, you know, when you're, you know, just thinking through things, but it shouldn't be forgotten.
Oh, man. Go ahead, Ed. Oh, you want me? I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ah, catching me off guard here. You know what a fun one I often think about is that incredible match play final between John Rahm and DJ. You remember that in Austin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And John Rahm's behind the green, 18th. I think he's trying to square it. And some dumbass comes out of the porta potty, slams the door as he's like, you know, decelerating on his chip. And just like, Rahm throws his hands up in the air, like this incredible match, guys hitting at 370 yards. And some guy, I like to think about that guy in the face he was making. That's like an unheralded moment from the season. It's like, who that guy was, what he looked like, his face he made as he slammed the porta potty door. You know, and the final green of this, you know, 36-hole day of match play. That was an underrated moment of the season. It's that doofus.
You know, that reminded me about how bad the format is down there and how big of a mess it was this year with all the WDs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The pool, that thing just needs to go. They got to figure out better format.
The problem is though, is that they can't go back to what it used to be with the one and done. Like that, that's not good either, right? So they need to come up with something that's better. I'll give you two quick ones. I know that you know he doesn't get talked about enough probably, but when Alex Noren won the BMW PGA, you know, shot 62 I think on Sunday. And basically just destroyed the 18th with an eagle to basically get into the clubhouse and win. That's something that, you know, it's, he didn't have the year that he had 2 years ago when he won four times, but like he's, you know, that's kind of one of those underrated things that I don't think anyone talks about just because it's, you know, it's on the European tour and not the PGA tour. But the other one, at Quail Hollow, Rod Pamplin shank to basically get his group off the tee so that they didn't have to come back in on Saturday morning to play. That one is something that I'm going to, it's in my year in review that I'm going to be posting in the next few weeks. But yeah, it's something that I'll actually never forget from 2017.
Yeah, this is a preamble.
It's dishonest.
Sarsen's deep dive year in review. It's going to be, he does the top 100 moments of the season.
I gotta look at that list. Gave him some feedback on some things that I thought were objectionably high and objectionably low. I don't know if I carry any weight with the committee.
Oh no, you do.
I'm gonna go with Phil Mickelson in Mexico when he was contending in that WGC event, despite like, he hit it everywhere. It was one of the worst. I think, what did he hit, like one or two fairways in a round and still shot under par? And like, well, yeah, I mean, he was in the second to last group in the final day.
He shot 68. It was a 68 on the Saturday. He shot three under. He found sprinkler heads in the forest on back-to-back holes. Back-to-back holes. He got rulings from Slugger White.
Yeah, it was amazing. The ruling, he was on, it was like a 30-minute ruling on one of them.
Yeah. Between Rory, like lighting it up, that Phil adventure, that was like low-key one of the best days of the entire season. That Saturday in Mexico was crazy.
Another good moment was the Kisner chip-in. It was dark to force the playoff the next day.
My favorite part was my favorite part of that entire tournament was Dottie Pepper saying that Scott Brown had won the tournament, but he like didn't count because it was an opposite field event, and then just putting her foot in the ground and completely refusing to yield. Kisner's face in the rain delay, like, I think that was hot. His like face, they were being interviewed inside, as like it was pouring. He was like, "Yeah, you've never won on tour. What's it feel like?" He's like, well, you know, I won in Puerto Rico. Kisner's just like, looks like he's seen a ghost. That was my favorite part of the entire tournament.
Cocoa Beach yeah. Winner. We talked about that earlier. Historic list of winners.
So, am I mistaken? It looks like they have now made the opposite field event for both the WGC Mexico is the Puerto Rico Open, and the WGC Match Play is another event in Puerto Rico. Or no, Dominican. It's Punta Cana. Yeah. Punta Cana. Yeah, never mind.
I think took the that's event new. That used to be a web event.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. And put it up there. That's another, that is actually might be, that would be my underrated event of the year, is that the web event in the Bahamas, the web opener, where everybody was shooting like 90. It was
so fun.
It was a legit hurricane that they put them out and play in. I mean, you got some of the best players in the world shooting like 8. I mean, I talked to my buddy Vince, who played in it, and he was like, "Yeah, I was hitting 4-iron from 100 yards." he told me, he was like, "Andy, you couldn't have finished the round. If you gave you unlimited balls, like, you wouldn't have ever finished the round, is how hard it was." So it's all right. Looking ahead, 2018, you guys got any hot takes, predictions you want to make?
Go ahead, Adam. I don't know. I don't have.
Yeah, I don't know how hot, I don't know how many hot takes I've got. I mean, I'd like to think that Bubba's going to be better than he was this year. That would be the first thing. I've been railing on this actually for the last couple of weeks and seems like months actually on Twitter, but like, I'm not anywhere near as sold as most people are that the Americans are just going to run away with the Ryder Cup next year. Like, I don't understand how anybody can actually think that that's actually the case.
I'm on your team here, Sarsen. I don't understand. I look at the teams and I actually think that Europe might be better. Like, they have like 11 players in the top 21 of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the counter argument to that would be like, you know, there's no American who's going to be, you know, afraid to face Alex Noren or Francesco Molinari in a Ryder Cup match. But I mean, the way that people have been kind of talking about it, just like, Joel, just because the Americans ran over the internationals at the President's Cup, it's like, okay, you know what? Like, the Europeans have players come in as well, right? Like, you know, guys, you know, it's not just John Rahm, you know, like guys like, you know, Tyrrell Hatton and Tommy Fleetwood. Like, Tommy Fleetwood, I think next year is that perfect like major contender that is probably not getting enough attention, even though he had an incredible year this year. Like, I don't see how people can actually think that it's a slam dunk that the Americans win. That's all.
Yeah, who would you guys take better career today, Fitzpatrick or Berger?
Fitzpatrick.
Like going forward.
Berger, probably. I think Berger.
I'd take.
Yeah, I would go with Fitzpatrick for sure. It's not that I don't even have anything against Berger. Like, he's really good. I don't know. I've always liked Fitzpatrick's game. It reminds me so much of Luke Donald that like it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Who's had the better career so far?
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
He's got a win every year, or he's got three straight years with wins now, and he had two last year. He won the USAM at 18.
I know that. A pro career. Northwestern zone, I mean.
Chicago. Tenured. Chicago's Big Ten team.
Long tenured Wildcat.
Speaking of, I saw Chicago's Big Ten team take on my Illini on Friday, and it was one of the worst basketball games I've ever seen and witnessed. It was horrendous. And it went to overtime, so it was even worse.
At least you have the Bulls, though, Andy.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a sad, sad winter of sports. The Bears just lost to the 49ers. I think Ricky Fowler's going to win a major this year.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a hot take, but it's I think it's unbelievable. Winning's overrated and also underrated, but his consistency is out of this world lately. And, I think his game, he's just become so good all around. Like, there's no weakness. He's got, you know, one of the best putters, great driver, great iron player, great short game. I think a big year from Ricky's coming.
Yeah, I think that's a sensible take, obviously. And I mean, setting aside the recency bias of today, I think like a lot of people are on that train. I think he will win a major. And I think, as you said, all around game, bunker play, iron play, he hits the ball certainly far enough. I don't know. I think he's for sure going to win. It seems like a win at least once on tour, and I think probably multiple times, maybe a major.
So, start of this year, Rory and Jason Day and Rory were 1-2, and these guys are both outside the top 10 now. Well, Rory's 10th, but they're in double digits now. I mean, how crazy is that?
Can we talk real quick about Day saying he wasn't playing this week because his wife was pregnant, but she's due in like June or something like that, and he just played in Australia? I'm still very confused by his reasoning for withdrawing from the Hero World Challenge. It's very like nebulous, confusing Jason Day explanation. Something about his wife being pregnant. She's not due for like 6 or 7 months. Like, that's fine. He can doesn't have to play at all. Just say, like, I'm not playing. I want to spend family time. That's cool. But I was just always very confused by that. Anyways. Well,
but if and also, like, if that's the logic, does, like, when does he play? Like, I don't if you're pulling out of tournaments now, like, why are you playing any tournaments before she gives birth? Like, I don't understand.
Anyways,
going from first to 12th in the world rankings in a year, like, without any major health problems or, you know, like, suspect, that's pretty big drop.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I'd be lying. It's not overly surprising to me that he kind of, I mean, it's, you don't have to have that bad of a year though to kind of fall in the rankings either though. Like, it's not, you know, there were a lot of other things too. Like, DJ just played out of his mind for so long as well that, like, you know, some of these guys, like, John Rahm busts out of nowhere, so does JT. Like, you know, there's a lot of other factors that aren't necessarily just related to Day not playing well that would see him fall down the list.
Made the move to Blake Collars. I would ascribe a lot to that, quite honestly.
How about the big three? Doesn't look good right now.
Rory's going to be just fine next year. My theory on him is, you know, he had a lot going on this past year, right? I mean, you know, he had the rib injury was still bothering him. He made the equipment change again for reasons which aren't really entirely clear to me. You know, mid-season with another switch. I think that's like the third or fourth time that he's done that, which is really bizarre. You know, getting married, all that. Like, I think there's just a lot going on. Like, I think, you know, once he kind of gets used to the new gear again, like, I think he's going to be just fine. I mean, Day, I'm not so sure about, but Rory, I wouldn't be worried about at all.
I think Day just wants to do whatever Rory does. Like, Rory fires his caddy, longtime caddy. Day, couple of weeks later, I'm going to can Kyle Swatton, switch that. You know, just, like, put my high school buddy on the bag like Rory did. I'm going to start wearing Blake collars. I'm going to take a nosedive out of the world rankings. Maybe that was the reasoning behind that. I don't know. I think Day, like, has a very different kind of, like, motivation, which is perfectly fine. I think he had certain goals, and I think he's achieved a lot of them. I'm not saying he's no longer motivated, but I think, you know, he had an insane, not sustainable putting streak there. Like, yeah. His putting statistic. The breakout year were not sustainable, no matter how talented you are. You can't just start rolling in every 60-footer. And, you know, he's number one in the world. He's won a Players. He's won a major. Like, that's, you know, he talks about how he thought that was good enough to get him in the Hall of Fame. Like, maybe you throttle down, you know, and maybe that's what happened this year. I think, like, he approaches things like he is getting what he can right now as fast as he can, and he got it there for that, like, 16 to 18 months. Mm-hmm.
I think there couldn't be any more polar opposite comparison than Jason Day and Patrick Reed. Remember when Patrick Reed's wife was caddying for him, like, 8 months pregnant a few years ago?
Yeah. Well, that was going on this week. Did you know that?
No.
They're expecting a kid, like, now. They're expecting a boy. And, like, she was telling him, like, you need to be out there. We'll figure it out, damn it. You know, like, you need to be out there playing golf. He talked about it. He's like, you need to go and you need to play. And if I go into labor, we'll discuss it and figure it out. But you need to go out there and play some golf. So, like, it's, like, totally opposite, which is, like, whatever. That's to each their own. I'm fine with that. But I was laughing at how she was like, go play golf. We'll be fine. And he made, like, 30-some starts. He made a ton of starts this year, yeah, like, 35 starts.
What's Patrick Reed gonna name his son?
God.
Oh God.
I don't know.
Is it gonna be a junior?
I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. I could see something like ridiculously Texas that you know.
I could see Colt. I feel like
Colt
Reed.
Wyatt maybe, right? Or something like that. I don't know.
All right.
I'm sure it'll be good. I'm sure it'll be perfectly fine.
All right, I'm gonna throw a couple of names out to you guys, and you guys give me what you think they're going to go have a better year, or, you know, kind of their trajectory for this year? We're going to start with the big woo-woo, Siwoo Kim.
Yield to Adam on that.
Yeah, I have literally no read on him. Like, I have no idea what to. He's super talented, but I mean, I don't know. Like, how do you have a better year than winning the players if you're somebody like Siwoo Kim? Like, he's what, 21 years old? Like, yeah. Like, I don't know. That's a tough one to kind of start off with.
I think I would like to see him, you know, post like a top 10 in a major. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just kind of like maybe get his feet wet in a major. I don't know,
I
not necessarily
had,
win or.
I think he had a top 15 or something in one this year. I think he, I don't know.
Loved how he shushed everybody at the President's Cup when he was like three or four down in every match. It was amazing.
So
You're such a Siwoo defender.
Love Siwoo.
You're a big Siwoo guy.
Who's gonna have a better career, Siwoo Kim or Bryson?
Oh, that's blasphemy. Oh,
that is blasphemy. It's Bryson without any hesitation.
There's too much artistry, too much science to contain his genius for much longer. I think that's a, you know, insulting comparison.
So is Bryson your breakout player this year, you think?
He could win four or five times. He's going to be on the Ryder Cup team. He won't have any teammates who want to partner with him. He won't have any opponents who want to play with him. He might go one-on-two and just win like four or five points.
Yeah, Porath's going to play Bryson and Tiger together at the Ryder Cup, and we're gonna see how it goes.
Oh my God!
I mean, you need that kind of genius going to Paris. You know, that's the home of such grand genius. You know, whether it's art or science or literature, I think it's just a natural fit for Bryson to, you know, run the table in Paris.
So next name, let's do. What's Peter Uihlein's PGA Tour career going to look like?
How old is he now?
He's like 28, I think, or 29.
He's really tough too. I mean, he once on the European Tour, right? Like, he in 2011 or 2012, something to that effect. I don't know. Like, I think he's gonna have a good season, but I mean,
He won once this year too, or he won the web. Never mind.
He won on the web. Yeah. So he won once on the European Tour a few years ago. Once on the web this year. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't. I know that I know Solly is kind of throwing him in as like a potential like Ryder Cup option. I wouldn't necessarily be going that far. I think he's gonna have a good year, but I mean, to automatically assume that he's gonna be really good, I would definitely not be doing that.
Yeah. His PGA Tour career, I don't know, three wins. I think he's going to win on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play for the next, whatever, 15 years. I don't think he's, like, ever going to be in danger of, like, losing his card real fast. I think he'll just kind of be a pretty steady and solid player. Maybe three or four wins in a career.
Yeah, I mean, I've written about this before, too, right, where it's, like, we have to kind of move the goalposts on some of these guys. Like, you know, the guys who used to win 15 to 20 times on the PGA Tour with two or three majors, like, those careers are probably not going to happen anymore, with the exception of guys like Spieth and DJ and whoever, right? Mm-hmm. So I mean, if you go out and you have a four or five win career on the PGA Tour, that's really, really good, and that could be exactly where we see Uihlein go.
Do you think he'll have a better career than Cantlay?
Me?
Andy? I know what your answer is.
No.
I mean, he's like an all-time amateur. Obviously, Cantlay.
Cantlay's amateur career.
Yeah.
Is like the best amateur career since Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was only an amateur till like 20. So.
Right.
Like Cantlay, like, I've said this a lot on the pod, but Cantlay made like Jordan Spieth look like a B-level prospect.
Yeah.
So I've been all in on Cantlay since.
Yeah.
I mean, I've, but Here's the last one. Who has a better 20? Who has a better 2018? Bubba Watson or Hunter Mahan?
I went home for the web event, and these people were so fired up at Cleveland. They were so fired up they had Hunter Mahan. I was like, those days, like, you know, like people just see the name. I was like, those days, we have done the Hunter Mahan thing 10 times over. Like, I am tapped out, no Hunter Mahan. They showed him for the full first round. I was like, just find anyone. But yeah, obviously I think Bubba is the answer there.
Before we kind of came on, I was saying to Andy that as it stands right now, no player in the history of the World Golf Rankings has fallen, who was inside the top 10 at the end of one calendar year, has fallen as far as Bubba has the following year. So, like, he's right now, he's like 83rd in the world. Like, it's actually crazy how far he's fallen. Like, there's no way that he has another year like that. Like, it just can't happen.
I'm kind of upset he bailed on Volvic. I don't know. There's no loyalty anymore. I would have liked to see him double down, play Volvic for another year, show him that he can do it.
He should have traded in the money he gave him for more equity.
Yeah. I don't get it. I don't know why he's a color. He wants to use the color ball. And he should play it. I think that was weak constitution, bailing to titleist the first shot he had.
I think he showed his true colors, the colors that have been, exposed over the years. It wasn't 60-minute colors.
Yeah.
So we got some good questions here from listeners. Car for the Course always has great questions.
Yeah.
Poor F, is Red Bull Ricky winning Tiger's Monster event equivalent to Usti winning the FedEx Cup or Westy?
I think it is exactly the equivalent. It is right in that lane. It's such an affront to the entire community, to Tiger, to the Albany community, to the hosts. You know, I doubt, defending champs usually get an exemption and a return invite. I think they'll probably rethink this just because the energy beverage, industry is such a competitive one and has such a hold on this event that you don't need some 20 something and his Red Bull coming in. Can I just say, like, Tiger is 42 years old. He is trying to hawk energy beverages while his contemporaries are getting like deals with like T. Rowe Price. And he used to sponsor, like, he used to be saved for like Buick, American Express. And I was hawking Monster. I can't get enough of it. I know I've probably worn that joke into the turf and beyond on Twitter, but
no, it's the best thing on Twitter. I'd pay for it every week if you would just if you just keep doing it. I should just start sending you money.
So yeah, that's definitely a controversy. Certainly, Ricky, Red Bull Rick.
It is a big question. That was what. They should ask Tiger when they got in the booth. All right, Sarson from Car for the Course. More likely to buy a Hero bike or an Omega watch?
We ride. It is unbelievable how much. Like, I don't know if it was different for me up here in Canada, but like it was on every single commercial break up here. Every single one.
So I'm not, like, I can't say I've been in the market for a motorcycle or a motorbike or have, gone out and investigated the market. Like, our Hero, is that even available? Is that available in the U.S.?
No, it's not.
No, okay. It's not. It said in the commercial that it wasn't available in the U.S. until 2019.
It was unbelievable. And I just, every freaking break, like, they've been running that thing for at least 2 years now. Like, I remember it last year. It was just absurd. And now this, they really like went overkill this year. Every single break, and just find a new song, make another commercial, it just, you're turning people off, and you're advertising to people who can't even buy your fucking product. Like, I'm not, like, it's like, you know all those Sonic ads? You get all those Sonic ads, there's not a Sonic within like 435 miles. You go and look it up, like Sonic Locator. Like, why am I getting this advertisement right now? I can't buy your product.
You know what I can't wait for is when Monster and Hero go knocking on SB Nation's door and give them a big truckload of ad spend for and we see drinking Monsters and riding a Hero bike around.
We need Tron to start another petition to get that commercial off the air, like he did with Omega. That's what we need to do.
I would. Those two products just align naturally with my interests. I would be all about providing content for them.
Good salesman right there. All right, overrated, underrated. Talking to your golf ball. This is from Seth Cohen.
Overrated if you're a bad player. Like, I'm not talking to my golf ball.
Huh. I'm a bad player. I curse at my golf ball a fair amount.
Sorry, yeah, so that's different. I think we all curse at our golf ball. Like, are we talking, like, you know, Tiger's like, talk to me, Joey Lime? Like, I'm not about to do that when I'm on the course, but...
Actually, I think you didn't... Go ahead.
I got a question about Tiger. It just came into my mind. Is it me, or does he sweat way more now, or is it just the improved, like, video capturing? Like, he, like, profusely sweats out there.
That's been a thing.
I never remember that.
That's been a thing at this event. I'm telling you. 2 years ago, he held that press conference, and I made a kind of irreverent joke. I shouldn't repeat, but, like, yeah, he... That press con, I don't know what it is about the Albany. He's just like pouring sweat. And it may be a combination of the camera work, but I don't know. It could also be a Nike thing. Have you seen those new NBA jerseys? Like that, yeah. Nike now does the NBA jerseys.
Yeah.
They show like all your sweat stains. Like you got these big basketball players running around with swamp ass, and you can see the whole thing. It's like a big problem with the Cavs. I know Channing Frye was having an issue the other day. Like, maybe it's a Nike matter, but it's noticeably more sweaty.
Well, it can't just be an Albany thing either, though, because you remember what was it at the Ryder Cup? Last year. Like he basically the opening ceremonies. He was sweating buckets when he was sitting there in that suit. Like it was unbelievable. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe he's not actually drinking any of his product. He's not getting enough energy, and it's causing him to sweat. I don't know.
Maybe he's drinking too much of it.
Maybe it's too much. Yeah, I don't know.
It was so much. My wife never comments on golf, and she goes, "Why is he sweating so much?"
I've noticed that the last 3 years, even in the press conference where he didn't play. In 2015.
What do you guys think? Overrated, underrated? That native sandy area that the Hero features.
God. Underrated. I kind of like the unpredictable circus part of it. Like the one time Tiger went and just there ended up being a huge ass rock under his ball that no one saw. Cameras did a great job with that. Like, I don't know. Or, you know, just catching complete whacked out lie or
footprints.
You know. Yeah.
Did you see the lie that Fleetwood got yesterday? It was basically just in a crater. Like,
yeah.
he couldn't hit out of, I think it was Fleetwood. No, it's underrated. I mean, you'd prefer that to a bunch of trees up everywhere, right? Like, it's definitely underrated.
Yeah. Substantial width out there, too. So you got enough width. I love it because it's almost like brings back the sand as a hazard. It's almost like a
right.
Untamed bunker, you know?
See,
you look at all these old pictures. It's like, you know, they didn't used to rake bunkers.
Yeah. You don't know what's underneath. You don't know what, you know, maybe catch a rock, maybe not.
Let's see. Overrated, underrated, Tiger's chipping struggles.
Overrated. overrated in the sense that everybody seemed to have some level of struggle with it. I'm not super confident that he's going to be able to go to Augusta in a few months and be able to chip off a really tight lies everywhere. But I mean, considering everything that everyone else was saying, yeah, it's definitely his struggles are definitely overrated.
I think it's underrated. I firmly disagree with Sarson. I think he's crazy. Now, I think it's underrated. I think he still has to answer that question. I think this week provided, as you know, glowing the reviews we want to give him, and as you know, excited as we are for the future about based on these 4 days, I don't think he kind of alleviated any fears there. I think, you know, he had a couple good touch chips. You know, he chipped off the green the one time that was obviously tight and a good play, but you know, he was stubby twice in the first round. He, you know, was shaky yesterday. I know, like, the conditions are different. You know, the conditions are tough for everyone. The hurricane kind of wiped out the grass, and there's just a lot of he got a lot of different tough lies. But I think that is going to continue to be a constant area of examination and anxiety watching. I think every time for I don't know, a full season without really noticeable issues there, I think you can't overrate it.
You think he's down to Westwood level chipping?
No, I'm not suggesting he's like a shitty chipper. I just think, like, sometimes it's not noticeable. Maybe he doesn't stub one, but maybe he hits it to 12 feet when he should have hit it to 6.
Just so everybody knows, I've sold my property on Westwood Island. starting fresh. All right, last one. Better course architect, Nicholas or Palmer from El Pindera?
What is Arnie's best course? Yeah,
I was gonna say, I don't know that I've played a ton of Palmers, but maybe I have and I just didn't know.
I think it, like, Trey Lee in Ireland.
Oh, all right.
I think that's his best one. I don't know. Jax's memorial is Muirfield Village.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you don't go to Dove Mountain, I guess the answer is Jax.
I don't know. I've played a lot of Jax that have pissed me off.
Yeah, no, Nate, like, you
really left me cursing him out at the end of it. So, like, I don't know. I can't say I've played enough Palmer, so I'll just go with Palmer.
It's really
I mean, this is your area of expertise.
You know what? I think Arnie set the game back less than Jackass.
I love the framing of that.
Oh, my God.
So that's what I think that's my answer that I'm living with. All right. Thanks for coming on, guys.
All right. Appreciate it.
Any parting thoughts? That's enough.
I just, you know, Tiger is back, man. I don't think, you know. It's easy to keep perspective, but also just, you know, it's better and it's more exciting. You react in a way, you know, you don't need to be too cool for school about this. And I have in the past, I fully admit I have in the past, but, like, it's cool to embrace it. And it's very different when he's playing.
20-1 to win the Masters, right? Isn't that what I saw?
He's ahead of Sergio already. Yeah.
That's it could be a gift worthy.
That's just the idiocy of gamblers. You
know, I want this stock market. I want to be able to short players.
Yeah.
I want to be able to short, and I want to be able to buy players. You know, golf stock market needs to happen.
Yeah, maybe we get a sponsor and put that together.
Yeah.
Get Hero and Monster on it. Let's go.
Exactly.
Yeah. You'll get paid out in monsters, not cash.
All right. I've researched their products way more than I care to admit. It's kind of dark, deep offering.
Maybe we'll do a whole podcast on just Monster one day.
Oh, God. All right. Thanks for having me, Andy.
All right. Thanks, guys. Later.